We are in the final week. The final week. Is this a happy thing or a bad thing? It's both for me. This is bittersweet because this is a series I just felt compelled to do for the reasons that I said week one. It just connected with me in so many ways. Not in just this is where I am in my life, but it's something that I think we all will connect with more and less as we move on through our lives, but all of us, period. This castaway, this feeling of just being stuck and being abandoned sometimes, like in the psalm that we read earlier, the fear that God has just lost interest in our lives, that He's not paying attention, that either He's angry with us and isn't rescuing us, or that He just, isn't that interested in our pain. It feels like that sometimes as we tell these lies to ourselves, that, well, what I just said, that God doesn't really care. He's not really interested in me, and so I'm just stuck, and there's nothing I can do about it. And we've gone through, I'm not going to review the whole lesson series. We've kind of attacked it at different angles, and those are mostly on tape, so if you've missed one, I'd encourage you to go back, because they're each a little bit different, and I think we can gain something from each and every one of them. This week is titled Pass. I think that probably came up behind me. Sometimes it's just complete faith that they haven't just plugged in a bunch of things behind me that are just wacky elephants balancing, or who knows what's going on. This is just faith that you guys have seen that. And that we'll be talking about 2 Corinthians, the very first part of that. That'll be our verse for today. You can look it up if you'd like to travel along with us in our reading. I'd encourage you to do so, because it's a very encouraging passage. So if you haven't, again, I encourage you to look at that. But we're going to jump right in and start with our text for the day. 2 Corinthians, this is how it reads, Paul's letter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share in our sufferings, as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Now, if you've had a Bible study class, like a how to read the Bible, you know certain things. I've pointed some of them out, principles for reading the Bibles. But you also know certain words kind of stand out. You may have heard therefore is like a big one, right? If you ever see therefore, there's a big point being made. And so you ask yourself, what is it there for, right? Well, if a word is said a whole big bunch of times, it could be pretty important too. And I have to imagine if you were paying attention even just a little bit, you might notice that a certain word really stood out, didn't you? What's the word? Just anybody. What's the word that really stood out? Comfort. Absolutely. It said, did anybody count as you were going through? Any idea how many times? 10 times in just, it's only 4 verses because we went 3 to 7. 10 times in 4 verses it stood out. Now, I put him up here. It's kind of small, but I wanted the whole thing to kind of jump out at you. And highlighted in yellow, you can see, boom, 10 times the word comfort, comforted, different forms of the word stand out. So he's kind of making an important point. If it's stressed that much, surely that is an important word as well. But other words get repeated here as well. Either affliction or suffering, which they're kind of synonyms, right? That is mentioned 7 times. So you see all the either afflicted or suffering popping out at you too. Next word that I wanted to point out, and it's actually the 4th most occurring word here if you get rid of all of these, is either God or Jesus Christ. I put it in purple because it's hard to see, but it's very royal, and we like to put the Trinity in purple. So either God or Christ mentioned, we got 7 times there. And the final one, this is pronouns, either the second person pronoun or the first, or excuse me, yeah, first person. So either you or we, boom, actually 20 times. Our suffering, your suffering, we, us, you, mentioned 20 times. And there's not too much left in all of that. And this message of comfort and suffering and God and you, it's really kind of coming through clearly. And he says it plainly enough, but if you didn't catch it, just through repetition, you would see that the message of this text is that God comforts you in your suffering. It said plainly, it said clearly, it said repeatedly, so that you just can't miss this. But there's another message that is embedded in there as well, and I think that comes out clearly when you read it. Not only does God comfort you in your suffering, but that comfort is meant to be passed along. And that's the reason that I've titled this message, Pass. Because it's not something that we're just supposed to hold on to ourselves. We're talking about Abraham just earlier today, and that he was blessed not just so that he could enjoy that blessing. I mean, certainly that he could enjoy that blessing, but he was blessed so that he could be a blessing to others. That we're meant to share, to pass that along. Only, well, it's not always that easy to share. We're not always so anxious to share things. So I included a little video to kind of bring that to light. Oh, you know where I'm going. It's not always easy to share. And sometimes we're just oblivious, I guess, like Chevy Chase is there, right? But more often than not, I think the thing that makes us reluctant to share is that so often it costs you something, right? That you don't just have more than enough, the water's just spilling out everywhere and you're just going to throw it away anyway. But it costs you something to share. Who here has a garden or knows somebody who has a garden? So when you grow stuff, you grow just enough for your family, right? And only, no, of course you don't. When you have a garden, you have so much too much of whatever you planted. It's just the way it works. So if you grow tomatoes, when those come in, everybody you know gets baskets and baskets full of tomatoes. And it doesn't matter what you're growing, okra. You know, your wife's like, why did you plant okra anyway? Were you on some kind of gumbo trip? I don't know, but now we got more okra than anybody outside of, you know, a Cajun chef could possibly want. What's easy to share when you have so much, too much of anything. Now, this isn't a tithing message, but sometimes it's easier to connect with money, I guess, because it's just something that we all deal in and something that's so obvious to us. You know, when people talk about disposable income, what is that anyway? Because I mean, you just throw away part of your money, right? This is what I need, and this is what I just throw on the ground, like this canteen full of water that I don't want, I can't use, so I'm just going to chuck it. But it kind of gets at this idea of the stuff beyond what you really need to survive. But that's not what it feels like. What it feels like is, no, I need that too. And so I'm having to give something up. I'm having to sacrifice something in order to give something to someone else. If you're wondering where I'm getting at or what I'm getting at with the comforting people, well, if we're going to comfort someone in our own affliction, someone who we share some of the sufferings with them, well, that may cost us something too. Because in order to comfort people, sometimes that means that we ourselves have to go back to that place. Right? We have to return to that place of suffering that, you know, maybe we thought we had put beyond us or put behind us. And we don't really want to go back there. But the amazing thing about, well, tithing, I guess, you know, that this idea of stewardship is when we sacrifice in a way that kind of hurts, that's when we get the biggest benefits. It's true whether we're talking about our money or it's true when we're talking about the fellowship of suffering. And we actually, by visiting that place, we may find that, well, we're blessed in the blessing. Now, I said the fellowship of suffering because that's a thing. I hadn't actually heard of it until I listened through the version, the Andy Stanley version of this, which is still kind of recognizable. If you ever have a chance to listen to it, you'll see that I changed a lot, but I didn't change everything. And this is one of the most powerful things that he shared in this series. And really, the reason I wanted it to be last, because I think it connects with us on a real visceral level. There is a thing called a fellowship of suffering, and it has some principles. The first is this, that there is a natural bond between those who have suffered deeply and similarly. It's a fancy way of saying it, but you realize this is true, right? That's why there are all these support groups for very specific things, not just Alcoholics Anonymous, but all sorts of things anonymous. Because there's this natural connection that takes place between people who have suffered in similar ways. That, well, a lot of us are just kind of on the outside looking in. The second thing that is really very true is that those who have suffered in this way are uniquely qualified to comfort those who are similarly suffering. They can comfort people in a way that nobody else really can. Now, whether you're close to somebody, whether you're in a pastoral position, and your job is sort of to come alongside people and walk alongside of them as they suffer in various ways, there's something about this fellowship of suffering so that when you're in the emergency room and somebody walks into that room who has been there, who has sat in that chair before, who knows exactly what that person is going through, that the whole room just recognizes this fellowship of suffering. And they can't put their finger on it, and they can't express exactly what that's like, but what they bring to the table goes beyond words. It cannot be accurately described. The final thing that I wanted to share about this is that this comfort, that word comfort is just almost too small, right? Comfort is when you're on a long flight and the we don't call them stewardesses anymore, the flight attendant comes by and asks if you'd like a blanket because you look a little chilly. And you say, yes, that would make me more comfortable. Maybe a pillow. Sometimes that's what we think of when we think of comfort. Then I'm doing okay, but I could be made just a little bit more comfortable if I moved from the chair to the couch when I watch this game. But this is not the kind of comfort that I'm talking about. The kind of comfort that we're talking about is life-giving. It's life-affirming. It's when you are in that place, that castaway place when you think, there's no point. Nothing good can come of this, and there's no point in me continuing and pretending like it does. And then that person who has that fellowship of suffering comes along, and they're able to comfort you in a way that is comfort again. It's just too small a word because it's much more powerful than that. And the funny thing about that is that comfort that is given is received as well. That's what I was talking about with this idea of stewardship. When we give, it's so surprising, especially when we give sacrificially, when it costs us something, what we receive in turn catches us by surprise sometimes. And sometimes the people who are giving, who have suffered and who are joining in that fellowship of suffering, well, they're surprised by that too. In fact, it may be that that's the moment when it all kind of clicks for you. And when you had been in that dark place for a long time and said, there's no point to this. Nothing good can ever come of this. God, would you please rescue me? And you aren't rescued. That God instead sees you through these dark times instead of just rescuing you out of them. That you see that this is it. I've suffered through what I thought was just pointless suffering so that I can now bring comfort to somebody who is exactly where I was. And that there is a point to this after all. It may be at that time that the words that you say in order to comfort somebody finally click to you. And you finally get the things that other people had said to you are true. That you say, my grace is sufficient for you, like we've talked about in past weeks. When you say the words yourself, you finally realize in that moment when you are comforting somebody else that God's grace is sufficient. And only by coming alongside at the end of this do you finally realize that God was with you all along. And you see that there was a point to all this. That God didn't cause it, but He sure can use it. And it's only through stepping in and being a comfort to others that you finally realize that this is true. Now, I want to end this whole series with a question for you. I mean, that fellowship of suffering, it's a powerful, powerful thing. The question that I want to ask you is, would you, if you were given an opportunity, would you suffer just to be able to join in that fellowship of suffering and offer comfort to someone who really, really needs it? Now, I'm not talking about a hangnail. I'm talking about serious, serious suffering. Would you be willing to do that just so somebody, maybe somebody you don't even know, but sometime in the future you would be able to step in and to offer that kind of comfort to somebody? Would you be willing to, I don't know, lose a loved one? That's pretty steep, right? In order to be able to comfort someone who has lost a loved one. Or maybe that's too hard to ask because that involves somebody else. Would you be willing to be an amputee so that you could come alongside people who are in the hospital who had just lost an arm or a leg and give them comfort and hope by sharing with them your struggles with that? I'm not seeing a lot of nods in the crowd today, because your answer is probably the same as my answer, and that's the flip side of the title of this message. Pass, right? Would you like to do this? Pass. What else you got? You know, that fellowship of suffering, it sounds like a cool club. Maybe they got leather jackets and they ride motorcycles, but I'm thinking no. There may be some other way I could participate in this. I heard Hallmark makes a lot of really good cards, right? Maybe I could just send them a card. But to suffer like that just so somebody else could be a little bit comforted in this? No thanks. I'll pass on that. That's natural. I would answer the exact same thing. But fortunately for you and fortunately for me, we have a God who did not pass. We have a Savior who said, yeah, sign me up for that. Can you imagine the deal that God pitched to him? Son, I want you to leave the glory that we live in and become a human, which is humiliating, really. You're becoming what you've created instead of who you are. But you're joining with these people who turn on you at every opportunity. You're going to become one of them, and you're going to walk where they walk, and you're going to stand where they can't even stand. And you're going to be humiliated beyond just that, because people are going to mock you and your teachings. These teachers of the law, these experts in the law, are going to tell you don't know what you're talking about. And then eventually it's going to get harder than that, because you're going to be beaten and tortured for a crime you didn't even commit and spit on. And then you're going to be crucified, which is really the most torturous kind of death that we've come up with to this point. It's as much as they can possibly do. And that's not even the worst of it. The worst of it is that you who've lived a sinless life are going to take the sin of every single person who ever was or who will be, and you're going to take that on yourself. All that filth and that disgustingness, and you're going to give them your righteousness instead. And Jesus didn't say pass. He said, sign me up for that. And He did that for you. And He did that for me, because that is how much God loves us. A God who has suffered in every way that we could possibly imagine, as deeply and as significantly as anybody you've ever met or ever could meet. And so He's also uniquely prepared to join in that fellowship of suffering and offer comfort to each and every one of us so that we can pass that along. And I hope that that, as well as the messages that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, will see us all through whatever that place is whenever we're feeling like we're cast away, to know that we're not there alone. And that the God who has lived through that is able to comfort us as well and better than anyone else possibly could. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for saying yes when we all would have said no. We thank you for your compassion, that you were, in fact, willing to walk where we've walked and to do it better, to stand in our place, to take that place of punishment so that we could get a gift we do not deserve. And Father, we thank you not just for the gift that your Son has given, but the gift that your Son continues to give. In Jesus' name, amen.